Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we talk about overcoming worry. I read of somebody who had a Wednesday worry box, and when they started to worry about something, they wrote it down on an index card, dropped it on the box, and said, "I won't think about that till Wednesday." And often, by the time Wednesday came along, it was a moot point. There's an old saying, worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Well, today let's go way back in time to the year 850 BC. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, has a panic attack, a worry attack, for good reason. He's going to be attacked by this huge army. But let's see what Jehoshaphat did to combat worry. Would you take out your Bible, turn in the Old Testament to 2 Chronicles chapter 20? And let's pray. Father, we pray for anyone watching this program who's going through a worrisome time that you will just calm them down and teach us through the Bible how to battle worry. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Syria, and behold, they are in Hazion Tamar, that is in Gedi." Here's the first lesson. The godly must expect attack. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. He wasn't perfect, but he was a godly king. And if you're going to follow the Lord, expect attack. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "Don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that's come upon you for your testing." When you follow the Lord, you get attacked. There's a funny Far Side cartoon of two deer standing up in the forest, and one has a bullseye on his chest, and the other deer says, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal." Well, if you're following Christ, you've got a bullseye on you because Satan doesn't like you. Let's look and see how he fought worry. Look at verse 3. "And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord." The first thing you do when you're worried, you seek the Lord. You don't seek what's in the refrigerator. You don't seek the nearest bar. You don't seek some TV show. You get on your knees and you seek the Lord. There's an old saying, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. And there's another saying, if your knees are knocking, kneel on them. So the first thing you do if you're in anxiety, you seek the Lord. Next step is verse 3. "And he's turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." The second thing he did is fast. Do you ever fast? Remember, Jesus didn't say, "If you fast," he said, "When you fast." So if your anxiety is coming upon you, you can do this. "Lord, for the next 24 hours, I'm going to drink water, but I'm not going to eat food, and I'm just going to seek you." Fasting. Next way to overcome worry is verse 4. "So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They came even all the way from the cities of Judah to seek the Lord." Here's the next thing you do to overcome worry. Get others praying. Jehoshaphat gets the whole nation now praying. And here's St. Ignatius. He was martyred in 108 A.D., but he wrote these words, "Take heed then, Christians, often to come together to give thanks to God and show forth his praise. For when you come together frequently in the same place, the powers of Satan are destroyed, and his fiery darts urging you to sin fall back ineffectual. For your love and harmonious faith prove Satan's destruction. So get other people praying for you. I will tell you, I have been a pastor now 44 years. I'm an old guy. But can I tell you one thing I have learned through all these years? You got to get people praying for you, especially if you're in church leadership. Don't try to do that without prayer. We have a tonight, once a month, we have a group that comes together to pray for this TV ministry. And I think that's why we're on all over the country now. We've got people praying. We've got also an email prayer ministry. People from around the country, we send them emails, and it lists our prayer requests for the month. Get people praying for you and your problem. Next step in overcoming worry, verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord, the temple, before the new court. And he said, O Lord God, O God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against thee. The next thing you do when you're worried, tell God how you believe he is in control. I mean, when you pray, you can do something like this. God, I've got this army coming at me. I've got these financial problems. I got a bad report at the doctor. I've got cancer. God, this stuff is coming. But God, I believe you are in control of all of that, and you're bigger than any of it. I remember many years ago hearing an old Presbyterian pastor say this. In the beginning, God took a lump of clay, and God rolled up his sleeves, and God took that clay, and he rolled out a few small balls, threw them out into space to create the heavens and the earth. And then he took one of the little balls, called it earth, with his fingernail. God carved out the great ocean depths, heights of the mountains. He flicked the dust from his fingers and caused more stars to fill the sky. He looked back at the earth. He filled the waters with every kind of swimming, teeming creature. He populated the land with all kinds of vegetation and myriad animals. And all in the palm of his hand, God maintains and sustains all the galaxies, all the solar systems, all the planets that and meteors that spin throughout infinite space. Now, is God big enough for your problem? Express to God that you believe he is a big God. Next thing to overcome worry is verse 7. He keeps praying. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Here's the next thing Jehoshaphat is doing. Remind God and yourself of God's past protection. I mean, when you're worried, it's kind of nice. Okay, I'm going to think back on all the times you've rescued me. Oh, I remember that car accident. And I remember when I lost my job. And I remember when I had this problem or that. You just... When you're worried, tell God all the ways he's come through to you. That might calm your heart down. Verse 8, and the prayer continues, and the Jews lived in this land, and they built you a sanctuary, a temple here for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house, the temple, and before you, for your name is in this house. And we will cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Here's the next thing you do when you're worried. Remind God of his promises. That's what Jehoshaphat is doing there. And, you know, there are a lot of promises in the Bible. Nothing's wrong with underlining in your Bible. And what I tell people is, when you find a Bible verse that's a promise, underline it. And, you know, when you're worried, just kind of look through and read some of those verses. There's a dear Christian woman by the name of Helen, and I did her funeral. And at the funeral, her son comes up and hands me this old little piece of paper. And she said, my mom kept this in her purse. And it was Isaiah 41, Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not anxious, for I am your God. Surely I will help you. And Helen was a wonderful woman. And I think what made her wonderful was she clung to the promises of God. Look at verse 10. And now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. Behold how they are now rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? Here's the next step. Ask God to step in. This is a God get 'em prayer. I don't normally pray, God, go get my enemies. But I do pray like this. God, these pastors and priests and bishops and seminary professors that are destroying your church by leaving Scripture and following the world instead of the Word, God, may they repent. That's plan A. But if they refuse to repent, plan B, remove them. May they lose their jobs. You can pray that way because of this. Romans 12 says, Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So you can ask God to step in. Look at verse 12. Or God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Here's the next lesson. There is power in group prayer. You know, I hope you pray all by yourself and have a good prayer talking with the God regularly, with God. But it's nice to be part of a prayer group, a small group, where you get other people praying with you. All right, so here's what we've learned so far. Here comes this big attacking army. King Jehoshaphat gets scared. He gets all the people together. They get on their knees. They repent. They fast. They ask God's help. And here's what happens next. Verse 14. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. All right, here's God's response. Number one, he sends a spirit-filled messenger. And sometimes when you pray, you then just say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to wait and see if somehow you send me a messenger. And then be alert to see if next day or two or three, somebody says to you what you need to hear. And then verse 15. And he said, here's what the messenger said. Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Here's the message. Trust God, not what you see. I mean, don't look at how big the army is. Look at how big God is. I think the key to overcoming worry is we stop looking at how big the problem is and remember how huge God is. So I got a nice phone call. You know, Pastor Brock, you know, you're a Lutheran, we're Catholic, but is there anything we can do for you? And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, we watched your show and you said you should tithe, that we should give 10% of our money to the Lord. But we used to look at our bills and say, we can't tithe. And now we're looking at God, knowing how big God is. We started tithing. It's changed our lives. Somehow the money just comes in. When you're worried, try to keep your eyes off the problem and on how big the provider is. Verse 16. Tomorrow, here's what the messenger says, you go down against them, this army. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in the battle. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Now here's the next lesson. Stand still and watch God work. I heard somebody say, we shouldn't pray, God, what do you want me to do about this problem? Instead, we should say, God, I give you this problem, and I wait to see what you're going to do with it. And next verse, 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Here's the next lesson. Praise before the victory. Now, the Jews haven't won this battle yet, but they're praising God beforehand like they have. This is called faith. I mean, I think you can go into an open heart surgery like this. God, thank you that I'm going to win. If I die, you take me to heaven. I don't have to live in this broken down body anymore. If I'm healed, then I have more years to serve you on earth. But either way, God, I praise you before the operation. Either way, we're going to win. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord the choir and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Here's the next lesson. Worship is our warfare. Worship is the way we fight. This is a strange scene. I mean, get the picture. Here comes the invading army. Here's the armies of Judah. And the king puts the singing choir in front of his soldiers. That's different. But the point here is, when you get a worry attack, you give it a worship attack. So if you're worried, start singing a hymn. I mean, just get your mind on the things of the Lord. Last night, we had a board meeting for this TV ministry that we have. There's a man named Kent who is the president of our board, committed Christian man, healthiest guy you'll ever meet. A year ago, out of nowhere, had a stroke. The doctors told his wife, pull the plug, there's no way he's coming out of this. He was in a coma for 4 months. He came out of it. He's as sharp mentally as he has ever been. He's talking with a walker. He's walking. And so last night was the first time we met with him to have a meeting at his house. And we sang this hymn. This is a good old song to sing when you're worried. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. In the last verse, in thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. When you get anxious and you're getting attacked with worry, you got to know some old hymns. You got to know some Christian songs, because Jehoshaphat put the choir in front of the army, meaning our real warfare, our real big weapon is worship. Look at verse 22. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Israel, so that they were routed. Here's the next lesson. Worship works. You know, there's a reason we sing hymns in church. There's a reason we listen to Christian radio. Worship routed the army. Warren Wiersbe said this, Satan doesn't care what the church does as long as it doesn't worship. Because Satan knows when we worship the Lord, Satan loses. Verse 23. For the sons of Ammon and the sons of Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Here's the next lesson. Know that God can do the unexpected. I mean, who would have expected this big invading army, instead of invading Judah, they start attacking each other and they commit suicide. I mean, nobody saw that coming. Point being, know that God is a big God. He can do the unexpected. Last point, verse 24. When Judah came to look to the outlook of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground. No one had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, valuable things, which they took for themselves more than they could carry. They were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. Then on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, they have named the place the Valley of Barakah till this day. And every man of Judah and Jerusalem returned to with Jehoshaphat as their head, rejoicing, returning to Jerusalem, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps, lyres, and trumpets to the house of the God. Here's the last point. Remember to say thanks. So God does this huge victory for the Jews, and they just praised him and praised him and praised him. When God comes through to you, for you, remember to say thanks. And I've said this many times, but maybe the best habit I've ever developed, I think I've been doing this for 10, 20 years probably, before I go to bed at night, I think back through the day, and I thank God for four things. Thank you, you did this today, and this today, and just before you go to bed tonight, and regularly, think back on the day and remember to say thank you to God for four things. Well, I close with this. I saw somebody who had this sign on his desk. God is bigger than any problem I have. Would you say that out loud with me? God is bigger than any problem I have. One more time. God is bigger than any problem I have. For our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God, and he is bigger, my friend, than any problem you're going through today. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today, Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Is that the same as being king of Israel?
No. Quickly, let me explain this. You know the movie The Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Moses gets the tablets. That, and they all get led out of Egypt in slavery into the Promised Land. That takes place around 1400 BC. Then the Jews enter the Promised Land, conquer it, and then for a period of a number of years, they have what they call the judges that ruled Israel, which is one nation now. And then came the first king, King Saul. After him came King David. After him came King Solomon. Again, one country called Israel. But then Solomon's idolatry, God kind of judged them and split the kingdom in two. The top half is called Israel. The bottom half is called Judah. So now you've got two pairs of kings ruling over God's people. The northern half, Israel, goes after false gods. And so in 722 BC, God brings in the Assyrians that wipe out the northern kingdom called Israel. But the southern kingdom called Judah remains until 586 BC, because they started doing the idolatry too. God brings in the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem. They take the Jews in chains to Babylon for 70 years. Then God lets the Jews go home. They go back to Jerusalem and set up the kingdom of God until, after the crucifixion of Christ, then 70 AD, the Romans come in and destroy Israel in 70 AD. They're scattered to the winds until 1948 or 6, the Jews miraculously come back and form the kingdom of Israel, or the nation of Israel again. So that's the story in a nutshell, Mona.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Can I claim in faith that God will heal me of a disease?
Well, we just talked about, you know, claiming the promises of God. Does the Bible promise that God is going to heal all my diseases? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to answer that no, because sometimes he takes us home. Or a different way you can say it is, because God, the Bible does say God is our healer, mm-hmm. but does that mean every time I get a headache, it's going to instantaneously go if I pray? No, it says in the Old Testament, now when Elisha became sick mm-hmm. of the illness of which he was to die, there was nothing wrong with his faith. He raised people from the dead, but he died of an illness. Paul says, Timothy, take a little wine for the sake of your frequent stomach ailments. He doesn't say, Timothy, where's your faith? Why are you sick? Name it and claim it. He says, take your medicine. Mm-hmm. So I think a Christian can die in full faith and go to... I remember visiting an old lady in the hospital, all crumpled up with pain. Mm-hmm. But she was naming and claiming, she was within, I think, days of death. No, God is going to miraculously heal me. And she died that way. Mm-hmm. I thought that was sad. Isn't it better to say, okay, Lord, heal me in heaven. Take me home. Mm-hmm. But instead of denying reality, I think we have to fight the fight of faith. And doctors do not have the last word. God mm-hmm. does. But I can't claim every single time I'm sick that God's going to heal me.
Mm-hmm. And heaven's a glorious place.
And everything's healed up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some TV preachers say that if you send them money, you will be blessed financially. Is this true?
I wouldn't give those people a dime. You know, I could list them, but I won't. But, you know, you need to sow your seed into mm-hmm. this ministry. You need to send us money, and your child will be off of drugs. Your marriage will be healed. Your lumbago, you just need to sow that seed. That's mm-hmm. baloney. Mm-hmm. That's baloney. So give your money to good ministries that are preaching the gospel, not buying some evangelist jet somewhere.
There you go. Amen. Well, we got a few seconds. Did you want to have a quick update?
Well, everybody, thank you for praying for this ministry. Thank you for your support. We need your support to stay on the air. So if you feel so led, you can support us at our address or right there at pastorstudy.org. You can watch our TV shows anytime. See you next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.